morning and thought I was back in Indiana. The temperature's a little lower than I expected. In fact, it's warmer back in Terre Haute, Indiana than it is here in Amarillo, Texas. But the occasion that has brought us together will only warm our hearts. As we've assembled with the finest people on earth, the people of God, on the day upon which our Savior came forth from the grave to bring our worship unto the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And I'm privileged to preach Christ here in the Panhandle Plains of Texas. It's a great privilege to be invited. I appreciate the confidence of the elders in asking me to come. The thoughtful provisions have been made and the hospitality already extended by your preacher. Brother and Sister Pope are those whom I hold in high esteem and have a lot of respect for their work. And it's exciting to me to be able to have this time to work with them under the oversight of the elders alongside each of you. I'm told the time is short, and so I'll try my best to cut the fat and wrap the bell tight. I want to talk to us for just a few moments about the teaching work that you and I do from the standpoint of individual Christians. There are different expressions this book before us today uses to talk about personal evangelism. Sometimes it's called soul winning. In the wisdom book of Proverbs, the wise man said, as recorded in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls, you know what the rest of that is wise. Wise people are soul winners. Measured by your soul winning, how wise are you? Sometimes it's called fishing for men. You may recall where the Lord talked to two fishermen. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:18-20. They said, Lord, that's appealing to us. That's interesting. But can't you see we're busy right now fishing? As soon as we get done with this, get cleaned up, we'll come pursue that. So what they did? You know better than that, don't you? They straightway left the nets and followed it. They didn't wait. Immediately, these fishermen became fishers of men. And then sometimes it's called seed sowing. We sing about that. Sowing the seed of the kingdom. The psalmist in Psalm 126 and verse 6 uttered, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I've got a question for your ears. I want you to contemplate. Can you count the apples in a seed? Can you? It is inspired by a song. I didn't see it in your book, but I brought a copy with me. It's called Apples in a Seed. I'd like to share it with you. In the fruitful tree there is an apple. Deep within the apple many seeds. So the Father set all things in order, knowing just what everything would need. You may count the seeds within the apple. You may count the apples on the tree. You may count the trees within the orchard. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how much the fruit will grow? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? From the mind of God before creation, from the heart of heaven, mercy's plan, bringing peace to every tribe and nation, heaven's hope for lost and dying man, God would take the brightest star of heaven, send him down to hang upon a tree, tell the world that Jesus is redemption, say he came to pardon you and me. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? Do not doubt that someone will believe it, though 100 hear and turn away, for if only one heart will receive it, through the one, 1,000 may obey. It may be a gentleman of 90. It may be a child of only 10. Sow the precious seed for the Almighty. You can watch it multiply again. Who can count the apples in a seed? Who can say how far the word will go? Who can know the harvest of tomorrow? Who can count the apples in a seed? expresses a superb sentiment, doesn't it? Apples and a seed. This song was written by a member of the church, Ann Stevens. Her husband, Jimmy, preaches about 200 miles south of here in Seminole, Texas. A few years ago, Sister Stevens shared with me the story that inspired her to write the song. It's beautiful. The late B.C. Goodpasture told of a time when James A. Harding held a gospel meeting in Clark County, Kentucky. The year was 1877, 140 years ago. I want to take it back 140 years to a time when this elder was asked about the meeting. He said, "Oh, it wasn't much of a meeting." Now, Brother Harding did his usually powerful preaching, but the results were negligible. Only little Jimmy Shepherd was baptized. This little shepherd boy became a giant of a man. You ever heard the name James W. Shepherd? Became a gospel preacher. Preached in many parts of our country and other places around the world. Did some writing. That book's in my library, written by him. I benefit from this day. Handbook on Baptism, a classic. The Church, the Falling Away, and the Restoration, one of the finest you'll read about church history. Only little Jimmy Shepherd was baptized. Can you count the apples in the seed? I recall hearing about a gospel preacher who was asked about the meeting, and he said, "Oh, it wasn't much of a meeting." He said, "I just baptized one scrawny little girl." Well, that scrawny little girl grew up, got married, became a mother of three gospel preachers. Can you count the apples in the seed? Not too long ago, after Bible class, a young man came in our assembly. He said, "I'd like to ask you about baptism." I said, "That's great. We're about to begin our worship service. Why don't you sit down and stay with us? And several of the people are coming over to our house today to have a meal together. Why don't you come over? There'll be plenty of food, and we'll sit down and talk about that." He said, "Okay, I'll do that." He came over, and he and I went out on the patio, and I took the book and laid it open at Matthew 28:19, had him read it. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." I said, "You notice the Lord said teach and then baptize?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Evidently there's some things we need to be taught before we're ready to be baptized, and I'd like to get together with you and talk about some of those things. What day of the week would be best for you, Tuesday or Thursday?" Gave him a lesson and a Bible, and we set up a time and had our first lesson together. Next study, he and his wife were there. By lesson four, they're both baptized. Come to find out, when he was a little fella, his grandparents, who are members of the Church of Christ, brought him to the services. They had since passed away a number of years ago. He'd gotten away from that good influence. And when he was going through some difficulties in his life, he came to the church. Little known to him was the fact that he'd meet up with a man who used to preach in the church where his grandparents were members. And little known to his grandparents is the fact that after they were dead and gone, through their influence, their grandson would have a Bible study with a gospel preacher, he and his wife be baptized. Can you count the apples in the seed? Some of you may be older, have some good influence on your grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And you may not see it in your lifetime, but have you thought about the fact that there may be some folks you'll meet up with in heaven because of the seeds that you're planting today? And I hope that excites you and challenges you. We're seed sowers. Remember the parable of the sower, Luke 8? The sower went out to sow the seed. The seed fell four different places. Wayside, some upon a rock, some among thorns, and some on good ground. And of those four places, only one was productive, the good ground, which represents those who in an honest and good heart received the word obey it, bring forth fruit to perfection. There's a question asked back in the book of Haggai, chapter 2:19, that we can make application of in lots of ways when the prophet asked, is the seed yet in the barn? Good question, isn't it? I come from a farming community. Lots of corn and beans in Indiana. And every farmer in Vigo County, Indiana, knows that if you leave the seed in the barn, you're not going to have a crop. And you and I are faced with the task today of getting the seed out of the barn and putting it in the soil. That's the Word of God. And it's precious seed. It has the ability to save your soul. James 1:21. Remember Timothy, who knew the Scriptures from a child, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. I'd like to think with you about some who weren't content to leave the seed in the barn, but put it in the soil. I begin by talking to you about a man by the name of Andrew. It's an exciting story from John chapter 1. We're probably more familiar with his brother. His name, Peter. But in John 1:40, it is recorded, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, what did he say to his brother? We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Now listen to these words. And he brought him to Jesus. That's an expression of seed sowing or soul winning or fishing for men. He brought him to Jesus. We need to find folks and bring them to the Lord, just like he did. Now, did you notice where he started? Somebody said, I'd like to do that. Where do you recommend I begin? How about within your own family? You have a brother, sister, parent, child? Somewhere along the line in your family tree, you have somebody, surely, who needs to be found and brought to the Lord, and you may be the one to do it. And if you don't find them and bring them, who's going to and where they're going to be taken? So I said, well, when do you suggest I get started? When did he do that? First, I'll circle that word. If we haven't already, you and I need to learn to put first things first in our life. When he found the truth in Christ, he first, before anything and everything else, found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. So I said, one of these days, someday I will. What's your someday? First. It's a matter of urgency, top priority. And you know who he found? Peter. You know who Peter became? A disciple. An apostle. One of those most closely associated with the Lord. Often you find him with James and John and Jesus, don't you? Like at the Transfiguration scene in Matthew 17. Among those sent out by the Lord as his personal representatives to reveal his will to mankind. Preach the first recorded gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. When the Lord needed somebody to go to a praying Gentile named Cornelius, you know who the Lord sent? Peter, Acts 10:11. We have two books that bear his name. 1 and 2 Peter. And when he wrote 1 Peter 5, he said, who also am an elder. You know where all that started? When his brother found him and brought him to Jesus. Who knows what the person you find and bring will become? Come with me now to the book of Acts and the second chapter. Can you count the apples and the seed? Andrew found Peter, and Peter lets down the great fishing net, if you will, and encloses a great number of fish. When in Acts chapter 2, assembled in Jerusalem by the instruction of Jesus, tarrying for the promise of the Father, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Folks confused new tongues with new wine. Peter said, these are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet. He quotes from Joel 2:28-32. New day of divine revelation. as God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh. And then He proceeds to preach Jesus of Nazareth. He says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words," Acts 2:22. You know what He's doing? He's getting the seed out of the barn. And He's putting it in the soil. His sermon is short. It's Christ-centered. It starts with Jesus, puts Jesus in the middle and at the end. It's Scripture-filled, it's heart-pricking, and it is response-evoking. They said, "What shall we do?" Acts 2:37. He didn't leave them wondering. I have attended some evangelistic efforts put forth by the Lord's people in some places, and folks don't hear anything that would cause them to ask such a question. They leave without knowing they need to do anything, what it is, why it is, and without opportunity. Shame on us. That wasn't the occasion. In Acts 2, Peter said, when asked, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." That's why. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's why. And they were given opportunity. Verse 41. When they that gladly received His word were baptized. You know when they did that? Well, what they did, they had a little practice of saving them up. They had a special time of the year set aside when they baptized all those people, right? They had a baptismal service. Now look at it. The Bible says the same day. You know, folks in New Testament days were baptized the same hour, the same day. You know why? Because you may not have another day. You may not have another hour. The same day. And the Lord added them to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You know how many were baptized? Somebody said 3,000. No, the exact number is about 3,000. Acts 2:41. Think about that. Andrew found his brother. His brother preaches, and about 3,000 are baptized. Acts 5 says in verse 42, daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But they face off opposition. Conflict comes in the form of persecution. Remember Stephen, the first martyr, put to death? Acts 7. Saul is there holding the clothes, giving his consent. In Acts 8, disciples were dispersed. Saints were scattered. Verse 4. They went everywhere. What are they doing? Hiding? No, the efforts to extinguish the fire, just fueled the fire. Fan the flame. As the gospel spread, the church grows. They went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4. And in Acts 11, we have the rest of the story. Look at it. Acts 11:19 through 21. Some come to a place called Antioch, preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. You know what that did? It produced in Antioch the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13, what's this church doing? They're sending out men to preach. They become the evangelistic base, if you will, of Paul, Silas, and others' efforts to spread the gospel through the known world at that time. Lost souls are saved. Churches are planted. Exciting things happen, brethren, when we get the seed out of the barn and put it in the soil. Let's open this little question. Can you count the apples in a seed? Will move and motivate you today to do the same. May we be inspired by these first century seed sowers, soul winners, fishers of men. And I'm at your disposal this week. I'm at your service to help in any way I can. And it's our prayer that God will give the increase. The seed's planted this morning. What kind of soil are you? You have an honest and good heart? When you hear the word, that you'll believe it and obey it? Would you be motivated to repent of your sins? To make the greatest statement of faith, a pledge of allegiance? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Commit your life to Him. Take up your cross and follow after Him. Be buried with Him in baptism, that your sins can be forgiven and forgotten by the Lord and added to the greatest family the world has ever known, God's family. To be faithful unto death. Maybe you've done that, but you've not been faithful in your life. Your heart's not right with God. You've got sin that separated you from Him. You need to say, "I've sinned." We're happy to pray with you and for you. Won't you come now while we stand and sing the song?
'Tis the grandest day of the ages, roaring.